My name is Colton. Super excited to be here. I am a full-time staff member here at Hume. I have worked here for about a year and a half. I work in food service of all places. So whenever you eat, it's because, well, I probably didn't make your food because I work in Wagon Train, but it's because people like me are here to feed you. So, you know, it's kind of a cool job. Before I was working here, I was a musician. And I'm still a musician, but I was a full-time musician traveling around. And I went to churches all over the country, and it was a really amazing thing. But before I get into that, I just want to just open with some preliminary things. In my talk here today, guys, I am primarily talking to Christians. The topic we are talking about is overcoming sin and temptation, killing sin. And if you are not a Christian, if you do not love Jesus, you cannot kill sin. Sin has reign over you. It has control over your heart, over your mind. You are dead, and dead people can't do things, especially fight wars. So there's that. And then secondly, I'm going to be shooting straight. Okay, like I'm not gonna be holding back punches. I'm gonna be talking about some really awkward things, but I feel like in our country and in the church in America, we need more men being open and honest about the realities of sexual temptation. And so, just some precursor things there. Before we get going though, I want to open with a word of prayer, and then. We will look at God's word. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you are faithful. Lord, please be with us today. Help us to understand more of you. Help our hearts to love you. God, you are powerful. You're the God who holds together the universe by your decision. You are the same God that can help us overcome sin. You've given us hope. You've given us the cross. Help us to love Jesus. For he is our hope, he is our satisfaction. He is the reason we exist, is to that we might glorify you through him. Help us, Father, to be Christian men. Help us to be integral. Help us to be in love with your word, and that we might serve you all the days of our lives. Please be with me as I speak. Help me to be humble. Help me not to please man, but to faithfully proclaim what you have shown to me. So we love you, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some of you guys came in late. My name's Colton, if you missed it. Full-time staff member here. I've been living here a year and a half. I've been married for about 7 years in like 1 month, which is crazy. Me and my wife live here, and we love it. So I'm just going to jump right into this. In my travels, I was a musician, and I traveled around, and I would talk to lots of guys, like after the show or whatever, we'd do worship, and they would come up to me and just be like, man, I am struggling. Like, pornography has got a hold on me. I can't get out. I don't know what to do. And this would just happen over and over and over again. And just to be really open and honest, this is just pure conjecture. This is just a guess. But just based off of my experience, most likely 80 to like 85% of the guys in this room most likely are addicted to or struggling with sexual sin in some way, but most likely pornography. It is everywhere. It is just everywhere, all around us. It's in our rooms. It's in it's on our smart TVs, on our computers. It's in your pocket right now. All you have to do is pull out your phone, type 3 letters in. You have access to pornography. It is everywhere. And we're in this culture, and we're like, especially for us as Christian men, we feel this burden of what do we do? How can we overcome this thing that is everywhere? It is so easy, and it is pushed upon me. It is accepted everywhere except when I am in my Christian circle. I'm just going to share my story, and I hope that it can speak to you. So I was one of those babies that like fell out of the womb, and like when I fell out of the womb and they spanked me, instead of me like just crying, I was just like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I was a Christian from the get-go. I had the blessing of being able to be born into a Christian home. Ish, and I was raised like every Sunday I was at church, every Wednesday I was at church, and there was a church function. I was always at it, and so I really knew all the right answers. I knew all the Christianese. I knew the right stuff. I was homeschooled growing up, and so within homeschooling, we always had our Bible classes, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But Yeah, I knew how to look the part. And I even like taught myself how to make my tooth sparkle when I smiled. Like, you know, like I was just like overachieving. I was going to be perfect. But one of the reasons we were homeschooled is because we moved a ton. Like by the time I was 18, I think we had moved like something like 15 different times, like across the country. We were mostly in California, so California a bunch of times, but then like North Carolina and Tennessee and Kansas and Pennsylvania and I think somewhere else. But like we moved a lot. And the reason being is, I said like Christian home. My dad says that when I was born, he gave his life to Christ, but it was definitely, there was a lot of fallout in my life from my dad not really being a Christian. I would say it wasn't until I was about 16 that really I became a true Christian, and then about the same time my dad actually became a Christian. And so pretty much whenever he could find a better job, he would take it, whether that was, you know, halfway across the country, all the way across the country, or next town over, he would take it because he just wanted to make us comfortable. He wanted to make us happy because he loved us, and that's how he thought he would be a good dad, is by providing lots of money and things for us. And so we moved a ton, and it really affected me as a person, because it was already hard enough being a homeschooler, making friends, and then being a homeschooler and only living in a place for like a year and a half, and then trying to make friends. It's not easy, and so I'm still pretty awkward to this day about like that. But anyways, one of those times we moved, it wasn't such a great experience. My dad was working at a high-end distribution center, and he one day came home in the back of a police car, and that drastically changed our lives. That the man who was my father, who though he had his flaws, he was still my dad, and I loved him, and I still do. And seeing my dad go to such a low level, understanding that he was involved in some criminal activity, it drastically affected me. And by God's grace, to like the company that he committed crimes against, they didn't press charges. And if they would have, he probably would have still been in prison today, and I would be a drastically different person. But yeah, so it was during this time that God, in his mercy, knocked my dad off of that pedestal by allowing his sins to be exposed. And so we were living in Pennsylvania at the time, and I was about 14. And we had to move back to Kansas where my grandparents were living. And we had to go move in with them. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I love my grandparents, but they're pretty weird. And it was a really hard time for my family and for me. And so it was right at that time, we were involved in a homeschool group in Pennsylvania, and I was getting my sex drive, and there was this girl there who I totally thought I was going to marry and was going to be stinking awesome. And yeah, we had to move, and it sucked. And so just to go back a couple steps, my dad, to this day, my dad is a Christian, and he serves in our church, and he's a deacon. And it's amazing because of that circumstance that God knocked him so low that he had nothing else but God to turn to. Anyways, going back, it was right at that time that I decided one day, I was on the computer, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to look up girls in bikinis, because that seems like a good idea. And little did I know, I would then begin what would be a 12-year struggle for my life. See, I didn't know it at the time. Like, my parents had told me, hey, there's bad stuff on the internet. You need to, like, not do that. But they didn't really tell me the severity of it. They didn't say, by the way, if you start looking at this stuff, you can become addicted. I didn't know that. And so at the time, I was a 14-year-old, and I was like, okay, that was awful. I'm never going to do that again. And then, you know, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to get my mindset on Jesus. Like, that is bad. I'm not going to do that. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, there I am back again. And then I'm like, oh, shoot, why did I do that? Okay, I'm not going to do that ever again. And then back again. And this time it's not just girls in bikinis. They're wearing less. And so what I then started this 2-year secret, this thing that I had that I didn't quite understand. I knew that was wrong, but I couldn't figure out why I kept going back, because I really did hate it. And so I was just at this confusion inside of me. It was like, why am I doing something that I hate? And so every time I'd repent. I'd be like, I'm never going to do that again. Until one day, it was 2 years later, that I was in church, and I can't remember the sermon. I can't remember why this happened, but it just came to a breaking point. I couldn't handle it anymore. I had this shame that I was holding inside of me, this burden on me, and I just broke down. I was 16 years old, sitting in the pew of this tiny church in Kansas, and I was just sobbing. And my parents were like, "What the heck is wrong with you? Like, did you kill someone? Like, what are you? What's going on?" And I told them, like, I was just honest. Like, I couldn't keep it a secret anymore. It was hurting too much. And so I just told them I'm struggling. I think I'm addicted to pornography. And it's sort of like tables had turned. Like, I had then come out with the sin that I was hiding, and it was at that moment that I truly began to see God heal this brokenness that I had invested into. And so, as we go forward now, like, if I seem awkward, if I seem uncomfortable, it's because I am. It's uncomfortable to open up your heart and to show it to people and to say, "Look, this is how I've been. This is how ugly I can be. I hope you don't do this, and I hope that that from what I say you can learn." And so, it was, like I said, it was at that moment that I really began to see change. And my eyes really began to be open to the gospel. Though I had heard it 1,000 times, it was in those days that I began to see, you know, though I look like a Christian, I really don't think I am. And then I began to see that though I say I love Jesus, I really don't think I do. And so I just began to seek the Lord. I began to, like, listen to sermons online, podcasts. I would just get counseling from my pastor, and just anything I could do to start to learn, to understand the scriptures, to understand who God is. And so I hope you will start to do the same. And I want to read from Romans. My favorite book in the Bible is Romans, and my favorite chapter in the book of Romans is chapter 8. It is such a hope-filled chapter. It just begins with a bang. It says, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Just saying, we are free. God does not hate you. I think that's a lot of us as sinners think God hates us. But when you are under the headship of Christ, God does not hate you. He loves you. He likes you. He wants you wants to be in a relationship with you. It's amazing. But what I'm going to be reading from is just a little bit farther down, two separate passages. It's Romans 8, 5 through 6, and then Romans 8, 12 through 13. So if you got your Bible, you can read along with me. If you don't have your Bible, you can't, because you don't have your Bible. All right, Romans 8, 5 through 6 says this: "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." And then jump down to verse 12. It says this: "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So what Paul's talking about here is killing sin. Right at the very end there, it says, "But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." What does it mean to say put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit? Okay, I'm going to give you this paradigm, and this is going to be like the core of what I'm talking about this morning, is that the way to kill sin, when we're talking about killing sin, is to starve it to death. The way that you kill sin is to starve it to death. And what I mean by that is what he was just talking about. The mindset on the flesh is hostile to God. It is an enmity with God. But if you put your mind on the Spirit, it is life and peace. So if you pursue the Spirit, you have life and peace. But if you pursue the flesh, you have death and destruction. So think of it this way. Inside of you is this creature, and this creature is called desire, okay? And think of sin as this creature living in you, okay? And that any time that you look at sin, or you look at pornography, or you indulge in sin, you are feeding that monster, okay? And so, does that make sense? So if you take away its life source, if you take away the things that are providing it food, and if you are you take away its nourishment, it dwindles and dies. But the only way to do that as Christians, and as anybody, is to set your mind on the flesh. I mean, the spirit. To set your to set your hope on the spirit. To be pursuing the spirit, understanding who God is, spending time with the church, spending time in communion with the Lord. You're setting your hope and your desire on the things of the spirit. Okay, so that's the main paradigm, and that's what it's honestly changed my life in understanding this little bit. But so going further into what sin is, when we sin, it puts this heaviness on us. David talks about it in the Psalms. It's this spiritual darkness. It hardens our hearts and it dulls our minds. And especially with a sin like pornography, though it's the same as any other sin. It takes your heart away from the Lord, so you're feeding that flesh, you're feeding that monster inside of you. And what it does is it darkens your mind, it hardens your heart. And so you don't desire the things of the spirit so strongly. And it works in both ways, that you can be feeding the flesh so much that your spirit, though you might be a Christian, is dwindling and is starving. And you wonder why you can't have strength to overcome it. You can't say no because you aren't pursuing the Lord, and when you don't pursue the Lord, you can't expect to overcome something that is stronger than you, that is bigger than you. And so, so we have this sin, we have sin, and it darkens our hearts and hardens our other way around. Anyways, it hardens us, right? But the thing about pornography is it's a snowball. It's an addictive thing. I've done quite a bit of research, and I found out that pornography has been proven to be equal to or more addicting than crack cocaine. That this thing that you have in your pocket right now is equivalent to a drug that you can buy on the street. And so it kind of makes it this double whammy of sin is hardening my heart, and it's turning my heart away from the Lord. And so you have to struggle to get your mind back onto the Lord. And you have to be like, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. Turn my heart back to you. But then you have this psychological addiction, and it pulls your flesh back. And so, it's a very resilient thing. I have talked to a couple older gentlemen, and just in moments of honesty, they would share with me, though I'm still married, I'm 70 years old, I'm married, I still struggle in my mind when I'm with my wife of going back to when I was a young man and the sexual sins that I committed. My mind still goes back there. And it's crazy. For us as, right when you first get your sex drive, your mind is extremely, extremely malleable. And what happens is that in the study that I was reading, and is that when you have your first sexual interactions, you then are basically writing code into your mind. You are making these pathways that your neurons travel down. And for most of us in this room, our first interactions with sex is pornography. And so what happens is that when you have your sex drive, you start looking at porn, you have then taught your mind for the rest of your life that you will start, that your mind, that your body needs pornography to be sexually satisfied. And so we go on into marriage, most of us thinking, oh yeah, marriage is gonna fix it. But the reality is that you have taught yourself that pornography is how you are pleased, and that you stop to see your wife as the outlet that the Lord has provided for you. So think of your mind like this. I used to live in Kansas, and in Kansas, the grass gets like super, super tall. And we lived in the country, and our nearest neighbor was like a mile down the road, and then everything around us was just like grasslands and cows. And so we, as kids, you mean my two younger siblings, we would just like go explore, and we were just like wading through the grass, and it's like miserable because there's ticks, and it's really dumb. I don't know why we were doing that. But eventually, we would come to like this random path in the middle of this huge grass field. And so we just follow this path, and came to find out that those were like cow paths, that they would like always take the same path, no matter where. They would always find it because it was easier to walk through the path that they've already cut. And in the same way, our minds are like that. is that your mind will always take the path of least resistance. And so when you have taught your mind to pursue pornography, every time that you walk down it, it gets a little bit easier and a little bit easier and a little bit easier. And eventually, your mind gets to the point where that's the only path it will want to take. And what's crazy is that God has actually designed you in a certain way. imagine that, this powerful creator. It's this really cool. This study I was reading, it was saying that they did a study on people who were married and then in their sexual relations and men who were single who would indulge in pornography. And that they said that the men and women who were in the confines of biblical marriage, specifically a man and a woman, whenever they would have sexual intercourse, their bodies would release hormones that would say, I am satisfied, I am done, I feel fulfilled. But they did studies on the men who would look at pornography, and those hormones were not released. And so what happens is that for us who would look at pornography, that is why we continue to look at more and more sexually explicit things, is because though you are going through the motions of sex, you are not truly doing what the Lord has designed you to do. And so your mind, it is searching, it's grasping for more. It's like that, okay, yeah, I looked at pornography, but that wasn't enough. So that's why I went from looking at girls in bikinis to girls wearing less than bikinis. And that's why you go deeper and deeper and deeper, is because you're not made to do that. And so, I'm just gonna. This is a moment of honesty, and I'm not saying this to. I'm not gonna say this. I'm not trying to say anything to emotionally manipulate or to guilt trip. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to speak the truth, and hopefully you can learn from it. But the reality is that this is how rapists and child molesters are born. It's because a lot of them will say, yeah, I started with softcore pornography, and then I just went deeper and deeper and deeper, and I just wasn't enough, so I went deeper and deeper and deeper, and eventually I wanted the real thing, because this thing on my screen wasn't enough, so I needed the real thing, because that seemed to be what I wanted. And I've known a man who has struggled with attraction to children, and for me, like, I can't comprehend how that is ever possible. But again, he said the same thing. Yeah, I started with softcore pornography, and I turned into this monster. And that's the reality, is that sin is never content with just a little bit. It isn't. Sin is meant, it's not meant, sin does consume you. It wants all of you. It wants to destroy you. I have this uncle. And he is openly addicted to pornography. He says he is a Christian. He is definitely not a Christian, because you can't love sin and say you love Jesus at the same time. And I've seen this the progression of destruction in his life. He had a wife and four children and a job and a house and all these things, but. He decided, because he was so deep in this addiction of pornography, he decided, you know, I don't want any of this anymore. I want to go. I want to go marry a stripper, and I want to be with prostitutes, because that's what's gonna make me feel better. That's what's gonna satisfy me. And, you know, for us as his family, you're like, no, please don't do this, you know? And he said, well, why can't you accept me for what I need? I need this. You don't understand. Why can't God accept me for what makes me feel good? And, you know, we've tried to preach the gospel to him, but he would just reject it and say, no, this is better. And what I hope that you would see today is that you're in a war. Whether you want to be or not, if you have indulged in pornography, most likely you are in a war, and that this war is for your life, and you can't stand by on the sidelines. If you do stand by on the sidelines, you will lose, and that you have to engage. You have to take action, because if you don't, it will consume you. And though not everybody is gonna be a child molester, not everybody is gonna go that way. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying is that it does seek to control you. It does seek to consume you. The flesh is evil. The flesh is death. But if you set your heart on the Lord, if you seek to know who he is, There's hope. Jesus is the answer. And this is totally what I want to convey, is that if you set your hope on Jesus, if you see that he is infinitely more satisfying than pornography ever can be ever, then you will start to see that you have a way out. There is hope. So what I'm going to do is give you some things that have really helped me. I'm going to give you three practical things that you could start doing today that will drastically help you in your fight against sin. But it's going to start off with this. I listen to like a lot of sermons and read lots of books and podcasts and things like that. And I really like this pastor. His name is John Piper. And he has this saying. It says, right thinking produces right living. And what he means by that, he bases it off of Romans 12, I think. And it's saying, be renewed by the transformation of your mind. And so if we can start thinking right, if we can set our minds on the Word of God and understand how he has designed us to be, and thinking how does God want me to think, then you will start to see life change. Though it starts in the heart, it starts by God's grace, turning your heart to himself, and it's this amazing thing. They're not disconnected. Your heart and your mind, they are one. And so if you can set your mind on the Lord and you can set your mind on his ways, you will see change in your life. But again, it's about feeding the Spirit, feeding your spirit, and starving the flesh. Okay, so I'm gonna give you the first thing. Number one, make no provisions for the flesh. What I mean by that is don't inadvertently be feeding that monster inside of you and not realize that you're doing it. And so this really changed me when I understood it, because I understood that our flesh, our heart is so deceitful. It'll take any little morsel it can get and say, yeah, that's what I want. Oh yeah, that's what I want. And you might not even be realizing it. And so I'll just give you some examples. Let's say, you're reading a book, right? And it's not even like a bad book. It's not like one of those obviously bad books, but it's got this scene in it, right? And it's like, oh, that was awkward. But then later that night, you go look at pornography. You see, it's not disconnected. That's sort of an obvious example. And other obvious examples are when you go to the movies and there's a sex scene, or if you're playing a game. BT dubs. Games are fun. I like to play games. But like games like Mass Effect 3, Witcher 3, those are obvious. There's literally softcore pornography in these games. You should not be surprised if you then that night go look at pornography and wonder, like, what's wrong with me? Just don't play them. It's so not worth it if it is an area of struggle, and I don't know how it could not be. It's just not worth it. And to be like, well, what about all my friends are going to be talking about what happened? And I'll just be like, you know what? Wait like 3 months, and another cool game will come out, and everybody will have forgotten about Commander Shepard. Like, it's totally okay. Okay, back on point. There's just so many little things that you can be doing that you're not even realizing it. So, like, take, for example, you're hanging out with your girlfriend, and she's not necessarily wearing the most, she's not dressed like a stripper, but she might be wearing something that is just form-fitting. And then that night, you look at pornography, and then you're just like, I can't figure out why I'm struggling. And so what I would say to you is you need to talk with your girlfriend and be like, hey, though you're not being a slut or whatever, I'm still having a hard time. And if she has an issue with that, you just need to, just get a new girlfriend, like, for real. Like, this the reality is that if she is going to be your wife someday, and if she can't understand your struggles as a man and not be sympathetic towards you, but just be prideful, and you can talk with her, but the reality is that she's not going to be supportive of you now, she's probably not going to be supportive of you later, and don't expect her to change. And so, just little things that you can be doing. And so I just challenge you to not like wake up and be like, Mountain Dew, think about what your life and think about what you're doing. I'm not saying we ought to be scholars or like whatever, but I am saying that you need to pay attention, because you can be feeding your flesh, and that you inadvertently feeding your flesh will be lead to failure later on. And so just pay attention. It's crazy what you'll find. Number two, bring it into the light. Okay, bring it into the light. The Bible talks about this, confessing our sins to one another. It is life-changing. It wasn't until I started confessing my sins that I really started to see that change. That thing that was holding me, that I was holding back here in secret and darkness, when I would take it into the light and show, this is who I am. It's horrible, I know, but please help me. When you humble yourself before the Lord, he will exalt you. God gives grace to the humble. And so when you just say, Lord, I'm sorry. This is me. I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to confess my sins. I'm not saying you have to tell everybody, random person on the street, hey, I'm a porn addict. Hey, have a good day. You know, but people who are in spiritual authority over you, your pastor, your youth pastor, your counselors, your parents, your brother, anybody that you can confidently confide in the struggle, I suggest doing that. There was a point in my life when I did that, when I would just go to anybody who I respected and be like, hey, I'm struggling. I know it's awkward, but I'm struggling. Will you please pray for me? Will you please keep me accountable? I need help. And it's in those moments that when you, like, I might have done it wrong, but it's like when you take the steps of faith and say, I want Jesus more than this sin. I want to honor you because I don't want my sin. I want Jesus. He's the reason of my faith. And when I get to heaven, I hope to see Jesus there. If he's not there, I don't want to be there. He is the point. And so confessing your sin, confess it. There's people here who love you. Your counselors didn't come up to here to like play cool rec games. Like, they came up here because they want you to love Jesus. And so there's a good opportunity here. And then lastly, this is definitely the most radical one that people kind of freak out about. It's cut off the source. Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, it is better to enter the kingdom of heaven without your right hand than to be thrown into the eternal flame with both your hands. And I take that to mean, it is better to enter the kingdom of heaven never having an iPhone or a smartphone than to be thrown into the eternal flame without my iPhone because it's not coming with me. This is crazy to a lot of people, but I tell them, I don't have a smartphone. They're like, what? Like, what else is there? And it's like, yeah, I have a brick phone. You know, it's like, it makes calls. Like, if I had enough of them, I literally could make a house out of them. They're just so sturdy. I accidentally dropped it off, dropped it off a building one time, and it blew up on the sidewalk, and I went down and put it back together, and it was totally fine. Like, it's incredible. That's probably its only perk, honestly. Like, I can't do, like, you know, Instagram or whatever, Facebook, but I find at this point in my life, it's too much of a temptation. I tried to do, you know, accountability things and passcodes and disable internet and blah, 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 blah. There was always this loopholes. And for me, it was just too much. I couldn't handle it. And so I just got to the point where I was like, I don't want this. It's causing me to stumble. Maybe someday I can have it. Maybe I'll get to the point where I'll be like, yeah, I can confidently be integral with this device. But for right now, I can't. I've failed too much. I'm not going to have it. And so I'm not saying everybody needs to give up their iPhone, but I'm saying if it causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is worth it. And you will see that you will all of a sudden be like, I've been doing so great. That's because the temptation is not in your pocket anymore. But we can take that farther. Like, most of you have computers in your room. That's dumb. Like, don't have a computer in your room. Don't even have that temptation there. Take it out of your room, put it out in the kitchen, whatever, put it somewhere else so that you're not continually in this private area, left to your own devices, in our lack of self-control, we can't say no. And so do whatever it takes if it causes you to stumble. I've had friends who had to be like, I can't shower with the door closed. Take the door off my shower, like the bathroom. It's awkward as all get out, but I would rather that and weird circumstances with that than to be alone and not be able to be self-controlled. So I literally have 1 minute, and so I'm just going to wrap it up real quick. Jesus is the point, is that if you don't have Jesus, you cannot do it. And So I just challenge you, like, dig deep into the Lord. There are so many resources available to you today that you can be challenged, and that your heart can be just like your affections, the things that you love and desire, can be turned to the Lord so powerfully, because we have books and sermons and podcasts and church and Christian friends. Like, there are so many things around you. Seek them out. And then finally, our God is good. This is word analogy with me. Imagine you're in a helicopter, and you're flying out over the ocean, and in your hand is this burning coal, and it's burning your hand. That burning coal is your sin, and it hurts, and it's hot, and it stings, and you hate it. And you take that coal and you drop it into the ocean. And that ocean is God's grace. What happens? The ocean evaporates and all the fish die. No, just kidding. The coal burns out. God is for you. He knows your struggle. He sees that what you go through. He is sympathetic. Read Hebrews. It's amazing. Jesus loves you, and he wants you to overcome this. And he is not condemning you. He is not pointing his finger at you. He's saying, come. No, oops. No, get up. He didn't say oops. he said, get up. I love you. Come on. No, it's okay. It's just like a father teaching his child to walk. A father is not like, oh, stupid kid. Yeah, you're dumb. You're like, no, like, obviously you're learning, and he's patient. Just real quick. I'm over. I'm late. People are going to be mad at me. Just a quick, like, question and answer. People ask me this all the time. Is masturbation sin when I don't look at pornography? My answer to that is yes, because when you masturbate, you are not thinking about rocks and, like, tractors. Like, you're thinking about things that you've seen before, and whatever it is, you're thinking of sexual sins from the past. And so Jesus says, if you lust in your heart after a woman, you have committed adultery with her. And so people are like, if I can't look at porn and I can't masturbate, what do I do? And I say, well, the Bible kind of says that you should probably try to get married. If you can't control your passions within you, you should seek to be married. And I know most you guys are in high school. Like, that's cool. But, like, start thinking that way. I'm not saying it's the only answer. I'm not saying it's the only way to be sexually pure. But I'm saying it does help. And there is holiness in singleness, but it's harder. But it's okay. It's a gift from the Lord, and some people are meant to do that. And lastly, talk to your counselors. They're here because they love you. I pray for you, and I hope that you can begin this fight. And so that's all I have for today, guys, and I really appreciate you. And if you have questions, I will probably be around for a few minutes. Come find me. But stick around. We're going into a time of worship right now. So thank you, guys. Thank you.